بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى. The first of our salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I'm going to have to trouble you one more time. One more movement towards the front. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Get as close to the front as you can, my dear brothers. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. The discussion concerning the age of Aisha when the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, married her is one of the most controversial discussions in Islamic thought, and a discussion which requires a thorough analysis, for it is a discussion which affects the lives of millions of Muslims in the world today. A discussion from which many a lesson may be learnt and many fantastic examples may be derived, and a discussion with a historical basis and a contemporary significance. Contemporary in light of the recent film that was made called The Innocence of Muslims, which sought to attack the character of the Holy Prophet. The attack, which was leveled against the Holy Prophet, mainly focused on his marriage to Aisha. What is seen in Western circles, in certain Western circles, as being a marriage of a pedophilic background. Until today, the accusation that the Prophet Muhammad was a man who was like a pedophile is an accusation that rages in a number of circles. Many people since medieval Europe who have sought to attack the character of the Holy Prophet have sought to attack him in terms of his marriages, and especially his marriage to Aisha, and the idea that many people have come forward and attacked him by saying that how could a man in his early 50s be willing and prepared to marry a girl who is of the age of 6? Because what they normally do is they take the narration from Bukhari and Muslim, which states that the Prophet took Aisha and consumed the marriage with Aisha at the age of 9. You therefore find that whenever anyone wants to inquire about the religion of Islam, one of the main questions which they seek to ask is related to the marriage of the Prophet. And the idea that they would always ask that how could a man who is a man of God, a man of morality, a man of principles, be willing to marry someone who is a 9-year-old? And you find that this question is sometimes even posed within our own communities. As in, even within our own communities, sometimes a person asks the question that how is it that the Prophet of Islam would marry someone at the age of 9? In today's circles, you find that the accusation of pedophilia against him is an accusation because of the fact that if it was to be seen or heard of in today's society, that is what someone would think straight away. And that sometimes is the problem when you are examining a 7th century issue in a 21st century barometer. There are a number of issues in Islamic history you find that when we want to dissect them using 21st century society to look at something that was prevalent in the 7th century is sometimes problematic. And you therefore find that when you ask Muslims, how is it that your Prophet married someone so young? The reply that normally comes is, well, no, she wasn't a 9-year-old. She was much older. You find very much an apologetic reply on the part of the Muslim. Yet the recent film, The Innocence of Muslims, clearly showed that here was the Prophet Muhammad as acted in that film and portrayed as someone who was with this young child. And this was the same as the Danish cartoons when they drew the Prophet Muhammad with a young child. And this has been the same in every attack on the Prophet Muhammad. And therefore there is a need for us to be able to reply to such attacks. Firstly, because there's a duty for us to honor the life of this man. As Muslims, it's our role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have to constantly honor his sunnah. He is an example for us. Anyone who attacks him is attacking you at the same time. On the second level, it's vital that we clear such misconceptions about his life. Because there are many people who may not be Muslim, but innocently are seeking to understand his life. Are seeking to understand why is it that a billion people honor this man. If we don't clear these misconceptions, then there is a need for us at least to try and assess this issue in order that we are able to give the context to how this particular issue developed. Therefore, tonight I'd like to dissect in depth the issue of the marriage of the Prophet to the young Aisha by asking the following questions. Number one, is Islam a religion that allows the freedom of opinion, or is it a religion that does not allow anyone to inquire about prophethood and the prophets of God? Number two, what is the case put forward by those who say that Aisha was older than 14 when the Prophet married her? Number three, how is it that we are able to reply to these arguments? Number four, do we need to be apologetic about the age when the Prophet married Aisha? Or is it that we need to put the marriage into a social context? Number five, how important is the marriage of Ali and Fatima when looking at the age of the wife in Arabian society? And number six, how important is it for us to understand the role of the wives of the soldiers on the 10th of Muharram? Let's dissect this and seek to dissect the topic in complete depth. When this film was made, a number of people came forward with an important question. Does Islam as a religion allow the freedom for a person to ask questions or no? Or is it a religion purely of blind imitation and faith? Because as soon as this film was made, there was uproar and outrage in the Muslim world. And at the end, it resulted in the killing of an ambassador of a country. Of course, as Muslims, we do not condone the killing of a human being. Nor do we condone this person who is an ambassador being killed because of a film that was made in that country. Two wrongs do not make a right. And certainly that killing is not something which is acceptable. However, there is a question that requires an answer. Us as Muslims, do we allow a non-Muslim to question the prophethood of our Prophet or no? Because we can't always claim that our Prophet is the seal of the prophets, he's the great Prophet of God, yet as soon as someone puts a question mark on him, we get angry. As in, surely if we're a religion which is confident about its beliefs, we will allow freedom of speech and freedom to question. A religion which doesn't allow questioning is a religion which isn't confident about its structure. As in, if today there is a religion which says to you, you can't question it, that religion is therefore uncertain about its theological structure. Therefore, is the religion of Islam a religion which is uncertain about its teachings? Because if a religion doesn't allow you to question its prophet, that shows that the people of the religion are people who are uncertain. You find that our reply is that no, on the contrary, the ethos of the religion of Islam is an ethos which encourages you to question. It encourages you to even be skeptical, in order that maybe through questioning and skepticism, you are able to find the answers to your questions. As in, how am I meant to find the answer to my question in this religion unless I am allowed to pose it? If you look at the very origin of the ethos of this religion, you'll find the origin of the ethos of this religion is that it's an ethos where you are allowed to even question your Lord's decisions. Someone says, what do you mean? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first created Adam and said to the angels, I'm sending him down as my caliph on the earth, did the angels reply by saying, yes, our Lord Almighty, we thank you very much for this decision? Or did the angels have the audacity to even question their Lord? You find the angels had the audacity to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you going to send down someone who causes mischief and bloodshed while we worship you and sing your blessings? I ask you, when an angel questions Allah's decision, does Allah reply by punishing the angel, or does Allah simply reply by saying, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun? I know that which you do not know. If the Lord of the heavens is willing to be tolerant of the opinion of his angels, then how can I as a Muslim not be tolerant of the opinion of my fellow human beings? At the end of the day, the Lord of the heavens showed us, I am Allah, the Almighty. Yet when I announced that Adam would be my caliph, I allowed the angels to question me. Therefore, the ethos of this religion from the outset was what? There is no harm whatsoever if a person questions even the Lord. And that's why even our Holy Prophet, those who say that you can't question anything in this religion, our Holy Prophet had companions who surrounded him, who in some cases not just questioned him, questioned his whole prophethood. Did he push them away, or did he allow them to remain in his company? As in, there's one companion who's willing to call him delirious. There's another companion who on the day of Hudaybiyah questions his prophethood. Do you find Rasulullah turning around and saying, I'm sorry, you can't call me delirious, or you can't question me? On the contrary, the Quran is full of verses which begin, Yas'alunaka. They question you concerning. They question you concerning. If the Quran begins its verses with Yas'alunaka, it indicates that the Prophet of God is saying very clearly that this is a religion where questions are part and parcel of the teachings of the whole makeup of this religion. Therefore, if Islam promotes questioning, why is it that we have a problem with this film, Innocence of Muslims? Because we say there's a difference between the freedom of speech and the freedom to insult. You're allowed to have freedom of speech. You're allowed to question. You're allowed to inquire. But have a certain etiquette when you question a man revered by a billion people in the world today. I don't mind today if a Christian friend of mine says to me, Sayyid Ammar, to tell you the truth, your Prophet Muhammad, there are certain areas of his life I don't really agree with. And the reason I don't agree with them is X, Y, and Z. From book X, from page Y. I'll turn around to him very clearly and I'll say, well, let me discuss each of these references with you. However, when someone shows a film, which is a budget film, where it's a complete insult on a man who is revered not just by Muslims, but by many non-Muslims, then Islam says, we don't mind freedom of speech, but we'll never allow the freedom to insult. Likewise, if I find a Muslim insulting a Christian leader or a Jewish leader with something which is as audacious and low as making such a film, then I'd be angry with a Muslim leader if he did that as well. As in, even in our own Muslim communities, if someone is insulting towards another school in Islam, do we accept such behavior or do we reprimand it? He may be a Muslim, he believes in the Prophet and his message. But at the end of the day, if he does something which is insulting, we do not allow it. That's why when he made this film, had he made the film and said that the Prophet Muhammad married Aisha at the age of 9 and I can't see the wisdom behind this, then we'd explain to him what is the wisdom. However, the film tried to show that this man's a pedophile. This man, all he lusted after was these young girls in Arabia. How do we reply to this? One school came back with a reply by saying, if you study Islamic literature, like the books of history and the books of hadith, you'll find that Aisha was no way 9 years of age. You'll find that Aisha was a minimum of 14 and a maximum of 20. This particular group come forward and say that when you accuse the Prophet Muhammad of marrying a 9-year-old, this is not true. Because when you have a careful discussion of the sources which discuss Aisha and discuss his marriage, clearly Aisha was much older than 9. I want your maths and your history to work with me now. Mathematics and history. How? They say, when did Rasulullah marry Aisha? He married her in the 2nd year after his migration. The Holy Prophet was in Mecca for how many years when he announced his prophethood? 13. And in Medina for how many years? 10. Do we agree? So in Mecca, he was there for 13 years after announcement. And then in Medina for 10. When he was in Medina, he was 53 years of age when he arrived to Medina. So he marries Aisha in the 2nd year after Hijrah. Do we agree? They put forward their arguments by saying, Aisha is no way a 9-year-old. You say to them, why? They give you their proofs. They say the first proof why Aisha is no way a 9-year-old when she marries the Prophet is because Aisha herself states that I was a young girl when Surah Al-Qamar was revealed. I was a young girl when Surah Al-Qamar was revealed. Now, Surah Al-Qamar was revealed, according to many sources, 9 years before the Hijrah. If Aisha was a young girl, say 4 or 5 years of age in that terminology in the Arabic language, when Surah Al-Qamar was revealed, if she's 4 or 5, and Surah Al-Qamar was revealed 9 years before Hijrah, how old would Aisha be when she marries the Holy Prophet? 15. Why? Because if she is, say, for example, 4 years of age when Surah Al-Qamar is revealed, 9 years before Hijrah, so on the day of Hijrah, how old is she? 13. Add 2 years in terms of the marriage after, how old would she be? 15. So the first argument that they pose is what? They say that here it's a clear proof that Aisha was 15 when the Prophet married her. Their second argument is, Aisha accompanied the Holy Prophet in the Battle of Uhud. The Holy Prophet wouldn't take people who were under 15 to battles. He would first say, have you reached adolescence, O soldier? If the soldier says, I've reached adolescence, then the Prophet would take him to the battle. But Aisha came with the Prophet to the Battle of Uhud. They say this clearly shows that Aisha was 15 years of age, because Rasulullah would not take anyone under 15, and Aisha was definitely above 15 according to them, because the Prophet took her with him to the Battle of Uhud. That's their second proof. The third proof which they give, that Aisha was not 9 years of age, they say that Abu Bakr, his 4 children, were all born in the days of Jahiliyyah. The days of Jahiliyyah, when are they? They are before the Prophet announces his prophethood, isn't it? So before the Prophet says, I'm a prophet of God, that is classified as the days of Jahiliyyah. Abu Bakr has 4 children. If they are all born in the days of Jahiliyyah and Aisha is the youngest of them, if we were to say that Aisha was born a year before the Prophet announces his prophethood, then how old would Aisha be at the time when she marries Rasulullah? 15, for example, again. Because if Aisha is 1 year of age before Rasulullah announces his prophethood, Rasulullah, how many years was he in Mecca? 13. 1 plus 13 is how much? 14. If she is married to him in the 2nd year after Hijrah, plus 2, what is that? 15 or 16. So that's their next argument. Then their next argument after that, which is quite a strong argument, and that is that Asma bint Abu Bakr, the eldest daughter of Abu Bakr, died at the age of 100 in the 73rd year after Hijrah. Asma was known to be 10 years older than Aisha. If Asma died at the age of 100 in the 73rd year after Hijrah, how old would Asma be in the first year after Hijrah? 100 minus 73 is what? 27. Asma is 10 years older than Aisha, so how old would Aisha be? 17. Add another year, how old would Aisha be when she marries the Prophet? 18. You find that these are all seen as being the proofs unanimously that Aisha was definitely not 9 years of age. As you said, Surah Al-Qamar is the first proof you find. Then of the other proofs is taking someone to the Battle of Uhud. They have to be above 15. Then the next proof, Abu Bakr's children. Then the next proof that Asma was 10 years above all of them. In terms of all of these arguments, I find that only one of them is strong, whereas the other three can all be answered. What do we mean when we say that only one of them is strong? Aisha says that I was a young girl when Surah Al-Qamar was revealed. So someone said that if she's a young girl, she would be 4 or 5. Add 9 years, add a couple of years, she would be 15. The actual hadith says, Aisha was a young girl when verse 46 of Surah Al-Qamar was revealed. Not the whole of Surah Al-Qamar. And we know verses of the Quran, some parts can be Meccan, some can be Medinian. So Aisha could have easily been a young girl when this verse was revealed as part of Surah Al-Qamar in Medina. It doesn't mean she has to be a young girl in Mecca when this verse was revealed. That's number one. Number two, that person who says that because Rasulullah took Aisha to the battlefield, it shows that Aisha was above 15. 15 is seen as the age for adolescence for the male, not the female. When you take the male to the battlefield, he has to be 15. But why are you putting that attribution on the female? Why can Aisha not have been at an age of adolescence that Rasulullah took her with him to the Battle of Uhud, and she may have only been 9 or 10 years of age when she's gone towards the Battle of Uhud? And even this argument that Rasulullah did not take anyone who was under adolescence, Haritha went with Rasulullah to the Battle of Badr, he was 14 years of age. And he fought with Rasulullah. And his mother said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, is my son Haritha amongst the people of Jannah? He said, not just any Jannah. He's in the highest Jannah, Jannah al-Firdaus. Therefore, that's number two. Number three, those who say Abu Bakr, all his children were born in the days of Jahiliyyah, that's not the actual hadith. The actual hadith is Abu Bakr got married in the days of Jahiliyyah to two wives. It doesn't mean all of his children were born in the days of Jahiliyyah. I can marry my wife in the days of Jahiliyyah, but then later on my wife gives birth after the days of Jahiliyyah. The only argument which I find plausible out of these arguments that Aisha could have been married to Rasulullah at a later age is the Asma bint Abu Bakr argument. That yes, Asma bint Abu Bakr, even Nawawi in his Tahdhib, Nawawi mentions that Asma bint Abu Bakr was 100 years of age in the 73rd year after Hijrah. Now some have put forward an argument that Asma bint Abu Bakr may have been 91 when she died. Whereas in many narrations, Asma is narrated to have died at the age of 100, which means if she was 10 years older than Aisha, at the time Aisha got married to Rasulullah, then Aisha would have been 18 years of age. That's the only one of the apologetic arguments what could say is what could be put forward, that Aisha was older than 9. However, the question arises, do we need to be apologetic about Aisha's marriage to the Prophet? As in, do I really need to beg a non-Muslim to believe me that Rasulullah did not marry a 9-year-old? Because some people have come forward and said what? They said, we have to find ways of showing that Rasulullah no way married a 9-year-old. We have to find ways. We reply by saying, why do I have to be apologetic? Why? Rather, I can explain the context of this marriage. Firstly, in the school of Ahlul Bayt, we need to ask a question. Do we believe Bukhari's hadith that Rasulullah was accepted to marry Aisha when she was 6 and then he consummated the marriage at the age of 9? No, we don't take this hadith in the school of Ahlul Bayt. You know what the problem is? The problem with this hadith is what? The hadith in Muslim, the way it describes the marriage is something we don't take in the school of Ahlul Bayt. The description is what has caused us much trouble in the school of Ahlul Bayt. You know what the description is? You know who narrates she being married to the Prophet at the age of 9, but the acceptance of his proposal at 6? She narrates it about herself. You know what she says? Unbelievable. She narrates that I was playing on the swings, and the swings were connected to 2 trees. While I was playing on the swings, my hair used to reach my ears at that time to indicate how young she is. Then all of a sudden, my mother came and took me. She fixed me up. I was playing with my dolls. My mother took me, she fixed me up, and she said, "Here, now I'm going to give you to Muhammad." We in the school of Ahlul Bayt don't take this narration. I don't care that other schools may take it. That's their books. I respect their literature, but we don't take this narration. But it's the narration that causes us trouble. Why? If I, as a Muslim, read this narration, I'll be thinking, what's happening here? There's a 6-year-old playing on the swings. Now she's age 9. She's playing on the swings and her dolls. She says her hair's up till here. Then all of a sudden, my mother fixed me up. I didn't know what was happening to me. I was taken to Muhammad's house. That's not what we take in the school of Ahlul Bayt. From the first level, we need to understand that hadith about a 6-year-old then getting married as a 9-year-old while she's playing on swings with dolls is not part of the traditions of the school of Ahlul Bayt. If it's not part of the traditions, then is there a possibility in the school of Ahlul Bayt that we believe Rasulullah married Aisha when Aisha was 9 or 10 years of age? Yes, there is. Even in Al-Kafi, there is a narration which clearly states from Ismail, the son of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa al-Muhammad. Ismail, the son of Imam al-Sadiq, states that Rasulullah consummated his marriage with Aisha when Aisha was 10 years of age. Some have raised the question that Ismail ibn Ja'far is not ma'soom, therefore we can't take the reliability. He's the son of a ma'soom, but it doesn't mean we take him as reliable. Even though this hadith is there within Al-Kafi, yet what is the problem with us accepting that our Prophet married someone who was 10 years of age? Is there a problem? Do we need to be apologetic? On the first level, we don't take the hadith about the dolls and the swings. But is there a problem? No, all of this can be explained. How can we explain it? Please understand the explanation. Firstly, we recognize, be you a sociologist or an anthropologist, or someone in the world of biology, that the age for marriage differs from one country to another, from one state to another, because of the recognition that the age for adolescence differs from one part of the world to the other. In Indonesia, the consent for getting married is 19. In America, the consent for getting married is 16. There are parts of Texas where a man may marry someone normally, according to Texan law, may marry them at the age of 14. The recognition there, number one, is that socially, one state differs from the other. Secondly, the recognition there is that in adolescence, you may find that the age for adolescence differs from one part of the world to the other. You may go to a certain part of India, adolescence may be seen at the age of 10. Another part of the world, adolescence may be seen at 12. Another part of the world, adolescence may be at 13. You therefore find, if you were to study human history, it is not unusual when we say the Prophet Muhammad married someone at this age. For goodness sake, if the Christian evangelical wants to attack the Prophet Muhammad for his marriage to someone at this age, I ask the Christian one fundamental question. In Jewish society, when Mary was present, what was the average age of the daughters who were getting married in Jewish society at the time? They'll reply to you by saying 10, 11, 12, maximum 15.